Anyone want to talk watches? Hashtag opinions needed. Hashtag help.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_Beeble. Another season preview podcast for us to get into today, and we're going to be looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So to talk about the Thunder, I am joined by the host of the Locked On Thunder podcast, and that is Eric G. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. And I just want to say, when you say Oklahoma City Thunder, it sounds a hell of a lot better than when I say Oklahoma City Thunder. I may need you to do like all the voice work.
Yeah, I'm definitely
Locked On Thunder from now on.
I'm available for all voice promo work that you need done. I'll speak to you after the show, and we can get that sorted for a modest fee for my exceptional voiceover talents, Eric. No problem at all. Happy to do it. Let's talk Oklahoma City Thunder for this coming season. Lots of fantasy intrigue with this team. You've projected them to be a 50-32 team, which is half a win above the Vegas over-under. So right on that 50 win mark. Do you think they're a better team than last season with the way they're currently constructed?
I think they have an opportunity to be a better team than what they were last year, just because you don't have Carmelo Anthony and you're not going to have the awkwardness of trying to fit Carmelo Anthony in and him not being happy with his role. But the Thunder still need to find a third scorer. And when Carmelo Anthony left, it didn't thrill me in the least to see him go, despite the issues that were on the court in Oklahoma City. And now it's up to Jeremy Grant to be more offensive, or are the Thunder going to start a guy like Patrick Patterson over Jeremy Grant? And I think as a unit, they're going to be better, but I still kind of worry, especially in that starting five, if you start Jeremy Grant, aside from Russell Westbrook, aside from Paul George, where's the other scoring coming from? And you certainly, from Paul, besides Paul George in that starting five, wouldn't have an outside threat. So it's a little scary, especially for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, the shooting is a real problem. That could really constrict the space on this team just in general. So it is going to be interesting to see how that all pans out for this Oklahoma City team this season. The projected leading scorer on this team, you've gone with Russell Westbrook. That's hardly a big shock to people. He averaged a triple-double for the second consecutive season last year, averaging 25, 10, and 10. I believe this season, and you can agree or disagree with me, Eric, that his scoring will go up without Melo around. I think it will be obviously a superhuman effort to average a triple-double 3 seasons in a row. I think he'll fall just short of that. Do you think that we're going to see a scoring increase from Russ? Or more importantly, will he ever get back to that 3 point efficiency he showed during that MVP season, which has been non-existent through every other year of his career?
No, I think that was an absolute anomaly for Russell Westbrook, that MVP season, that to have what he did from beyond the arc. I don't expect much from Russell Westbrook as far as his 3-point shooting goes this year. I do expect his scoring to increase, just because if for no other reason, Russell Westbrook will rely on himself possibly more than any other player in the NBA to get something done when it absolutely has to get done. But his scoring going up or going down doesn't concern me as much as when you have a guy like Paul George on the court, especially late in games. And I know Russ has a flair for heroics, and even though his 3-point shooting for the most part sucks, he'll show up at the most opportune time and nail a 3-pointer. I want to see him make more use of Paul George late in the games. And if Patrick Patterson's on the court, or Dennis Schroeder, who's a guy that can figure into this, when you have other guys around that can hit 3-pointers and hit them more consistently than you, especially late in the game, if that is a situation for Oklahoma City, I want to see Russ go to those guys and get them involved. And I don't think that makes him less of the man. that makes him more of the man and more of that traditional point guard that I think a lot of people in the NBA have wanted to see him become for quite some time.
He shot 34% from three in that MVP season on seven attempts. Every other year of his career, it's basically been under 30% on four attempts, which is what he reverted to last season. The MVP season was also weird in the fact that he got to the line a lot more. He went from seven attempts per game up to 10 attempts per game. But can you explain, Eric, what the hell happened to his free throw shooting? It went from 85% down to 74%. I do believe it will come up slightly, but it wasn't like it was, you know, bad for the first 40 games and then back to normal at the end, because over the last 25 games, he was still only a 78% shooter, which is okay, but it's not the level that he was at before. What happened to the free throws, and will they be back to that 80, 83, 84% guy, which gave him so much fantasy value before?
The smart-ass answer on that is he stood too close to Andre Roberson at some point, and Andre rubbed off on him, because Andre can't hit the broadside of a barn from the charity stripe. It was something mental. I would chalk it up to fatigue. And when you look at Russ's usage rate, which I know is an advanced stat that a lot of number guys like to get into, and I'm not particularly a numbers guy, or you just look at how much this team relies on him and how he goes hard all 82 games, eventually that's going to wear and tear on your body. And you're not going to be as effective during an 82-game season, especially down the stretch. And I think when it wears on you physically, it's going to wear on you mentally. And those are the things that played into the major factor of Russ not being as good from the free throw line last year. And I expect him, just again, by way of him playing and always going to the basket and driving and doing such an excellent job of drawing fouls, I would expect this year, and really for the years beyond, for every year, for him to get to the free throw line, not only with consistency, but it wouldn't surprise me to see an increase on a yearly basis, as long as he keeps playing the way that he does.
I can see that number bouncing back. Now, last year, he was the 11th ranked player in fantasy leagues, and weirdly, his free throw percentage was more of a negative than his field goal percentage was. That had never been the case prior, but he did up his efficiency up from 43% in the MVP season up to 45% last season, and he was going comfortably at 46% for the last 40 games of last season. So his efficiency from the field, we look at him and people think, no, I'm not drafting Russ because he's going to kill my field goal percentage. That actually wasn't the case last year. It wasn't the case in 15-16. It was just that MVP season on such large volume that his shots didn't go in. But with Paul George around, he was able to get that efficiency from the field back up. If he can get his free throws back to a normal rate, he should be able to jump pretty comfortably back inside the top 10. He's going to put up, you know, his big numbers of rebounds and assists. He gets steals. The scoring's going to be fine. I think he is a fine first-round option, no problem, and I'm not worried about people, you know, looking at his field goal and thinking that it's some unrecoverable number from. It is very easy to recover from his field goal percentage if he maintains the efficiency he had last season. In fact, his field goal percentage was way less harmful than what Paul George's was last season, as George shot just 43%. I think if you just did a poll of people, they would think the absolute opposite there. So it's got important to look at those numbers rather than just believing some sort of false narrative that did occur with Westbrook last season. Now, I do want to talk about the guy who had started next to Russell Westbrook in the backcourt, and that's Andre Roberson. Suffered that patella tendon injury. We thought he'd be fine to come back for training camp, but now, Eric, the latest reports are telling us that it might not be until December that Roberson is ready to go. Is that the latest news on his knee injury and his recovery?
Yeah, there was a TV report in San Antonio, and Andre sat down and did an interview, and I actually, to plug my own podcast, I have the audio on Locked On Thunder if you want to go listen to it. It was on yesterday's podcast. But Andre saying that what Andre said is very, you got to listen to what he said very carefully, is that he hopes to be back to being himself by December before Christmas. Now, you can take that one of two ways. You hope that he's 100%, or he hopes he's 100%. And at that point, you're talking about 20 plus games, he's able to be as effective on defense as he was, or you can take that as he hopes to be feeling good enough by December and that the Thunder will put him on the floor. I would think that it's probably closer to the former than the latter, and the Thunder are going to be very careful with Andre Roberson and bringing him back. There's really no need to rush him back because you've got, and there's enough talent and enough depth on this team where you can live without him for the first couple of months of the season and not worry about defense too much. And you might be able to outscore some people depending on the lineups you're throwing on the floor. So I would say that he probably comes back late December. And at that time, I'm really hoping he can pick up where he left off, because before that injury at Detroit, he was having such a tremendous season. And for Thunder fans, he was kind of a guy that everybody got on because he was very unreliable on the offensive end. And it sort of woke people up as to how talented and how important he is to Oklahoma City having any shot at making a run in the playoffs this next season.
Yeah, look, he's super important there. He's not really a fantasy threat in any sort of situation. It has to be very, very deep leagues, mainly for his ability to get steals and blocks. He is a decently high field goal percentage player, but it's on very, very low volume. And we've already talked about just how putrid his free throw shooting was, 31.6% last season, which is an absolute disaster of a free throw percentage. It's just those defensive numbers which really help, but he's likely a top 200-ish type of guy. But what I do think is important for us to talk about with Roberson's injury, Eric, is who is going to fill in that role while he's gone. Last season, the Thunder used Corey Brewer. Of course, he's not on the team at the moment. Terrence Ferguson played minutes there, Alex Abrines, but they did make that trade to get off of Carmelo Anthony by bringing in Dennis Schroeder. Now, a Schroeder-Westbrook backcourt would be interesting in terms of those guys neither can shoot and both want the ball all the time, but can you see Dennis Schroeder's minutes really pushing up in that situation at the start of the season when Roberson's not there?
Yes, I can. I'll not only say yes, I can, but I honestly hope they do. And this is another thing that I toyed with yesterday on my show, which is if Andre Roberson doesn't come back, you have some really interesting starting fives that you could throw out. And one that I like personally, defensively, I don't know this lineup would be. I would throw Russ in. Obviously, Russ is going to play the one. Does Schroeder come in and play the two if he's willing to accept that role? Paul at your three, Patrick Patterson instead of Jeremy Grant at the four, and then Steven Adams at the five. And I think at that point, if you go with that mindset, you're just trying to outscore people while those guys are on the court. The only thing I don't like about it is if you bring Patrick Patterson in to start versus Jeremy Grant, that limits some of your firepower off the bench. And even when you start Dennis Schroeder, that limits some of your firepower. And another lineup that I would love to see Billy Donovan throw out, and I know it will not, I'll just say right now, it will not happen. But if Billy Donovan listens to my podcast or this podcast, I'd like to see Raymond Felton start at the one, even though he's a little bit older, but he's a great distributor. You have Russ at the two, bring Patterson in at the four, Paul at the three, and Adams at the five. That way you still have Schroeder coming off the bench to give you a little bit of scoring. I know there's no way in hell that happens, and Raymond Felton's probably too old to start and give you the kind of minutes he would need in that role, but I do think you could limit him, and that's something you could look at. And if you're Billy Donovan, it's good that you have the options that you do, because during training camp you can play with your rotations maybe and be more creative, maybe more than any other coach in the NBA this year.
You're right. There's zero chance that that's going to happen, but it would be interesting to see Felton at least work and have Russ as not necessarily the primary distributor. He's still going to do what he does, but that would be interesting to see. As for Schroeder, Yahoo's got him ranked 82nd. There is absolutely no need to be looking at him there. He was only the 66th ranked player last season, and that's with a usage rate of over 30%, playing 30 plus minutes and running the Atlanta Hawks team. All those things, of course, which aren't going to happen in Oklahoma City. He's a guy that may crack the top 150. Maybe he's a top 120 guy for the stage of the season when Roberson's out, but apart from that, he goes back to a bench role, he goes back to a limited role, and he's not going to return anywhere near that sort of value. So taking him around that 80 or 90 mark, that's just nonsense to me, and I don't think that you should be going anywhere near him in that sort of a situation. Eric, You've spoken already about the possibility of Patrick Patterson starting. He was a disaster last season. Had that knee injury in the preseason and never was able to get going. Only scored 4 points per game in 15 minutes. Somehow did play all 82 games despite having that knee problem. Couldn't shoot. 39% from three, but only 40% from the field overall. Doesn't do much else. You know, hopefully he is healthy this season. Or was that just it? He's going to be 30 soon. Was that just the end of Patrick Patterson being an overly productive guy? Where do you see him taking that step forward this year?
I think he will take that step forward, but I'm being very hopeful in that assessment of just the time off. I mean, this may be the one really good thing about the Thunder getting bounced as early as they did in the playoffs is you give a guy like Patrick Patterson, who's got a lot of wear and tear on his body, you give him ample time to rest and get healthy and to start working out again and to start more basketball shape than was last year. Plus, I think with the Thunder all season long, and it didn't surprise me early at all in the season, it did surprise me that it lasted as long as it did. I think part of Patrick Patterson's problem was the same thing.
The joys of technology, Eric. You cut out because my computer completely just shit itself as you were talking about Patrick Patterson and his return to health for this coming season and some high hopes the Thunder potentially do have for him. Do you want to continue on telling us about, you know, what you're hoping that Patterson can bring as a potential member of the starting lineup?
Well, as a potential member of the starting lineup, one, I hope he can bring scoring. And that's the thing with the Thunder, and I fall into their philosophy is I hope he can bring another three-point threat that defenses have to worry about night in, night out. And the physicality, I certainly think he can bring physicality on the defensive end, and he can certainly help Steven Adams down low on the block and rebound, and he can be a tough guy to handle in there. He's very athletic. So these are the things that I'm hoping. Also, just a veteran, some leadership, another voice in the locker room that can kind of balance out Russell Westbrook, and maybe a guy that you start him, but you don't have to play him necessarily starter minutes, and you can let him go maybe the first 6 minutes of the first quarter. Then you can bring Jeremy Grant in, because at some point the Thunder are going to have to groom Jeremy Grant, and they're going to have to get him ready to play in a starting role for Oklahoma City. And there are so many facets of his game that he needs to develop that I think if you're using Patterson, it's more of a Band-Aid, if anything.
It's going to be interesting to see exactly how they do run that situation with Patterson and Grant. I think both of them are negligible fantasy options. Grant can be interesting in the fact that he can bring blocks and a high field goal percentage, but he's not a great shooter from deep, so the three-point contribution is going to be limited. He's not going to be getting high usage, of course, playing alongside Paul George and Russell Westbrook. But he's the guy that I think has more of ability to contribute from a fantasy point of view, so fantasy owners would be hoping that Grant gets the bulk of those minutes there rather than Patrick Patterson in that role. But Patterson's ability to stretch the floor, especially on a team that is so in need of shooting, Patterson could fit into that spot. The two-way guys on this team, Eric, we've got Deontay Burton and Tyler Davis. I don't think we're going to see huge amounts from those, although Burton was impressive in Summer League.
He was. I thought he played really well and was definitely worthy of a spot to try and earn his way onto this team. And as you mentioned, he's a two-way contract guy, so I don't expect a whole lot from him. I am excited though about his potential and how he could develop with his minutes in the G League and the few minutes that he's going to get with Oklahoma City this year. And it's sort of that work in progress, but the Thunder kind of locked out those type of guys. And there have been guys throughout their history that have been that work in progress that have panned out and done all right for them.
Yeah, he is someone to keep an eye on, especially more so, I believe, than Tyler Davis. with the fact that Mallow is gone from this team, do you see any changes in the way that this team is going to play this coming season? A faster pace, perhaps? A different, yeah, I guess, more concentration of usage between Paul George and Russell Westbrook? What do you think is going to change this year between the team and what they were last year?
Well, I think you'll see a more cohesive bunch on the floor. And the fact that you don't have to worry about plugging Melo in. And look, in all fairness to Carmelo Anthony, he came in late in the offseason, like right before training camp started. So he never really got a shot to work out with these guys during the season. So I like the fact that we've known now for a couple of months who's coming back with Oklahoma City. These guys have been working out together in Los Angeles for a while, or they've had the opportunity. A couple of them have done the USA basketball thing. And you've got an opportunity this year through the workouts in the summer, through training camp, to just for everybody to kind of figure out what their role is and be comfortable in it earlier than what that happened with Oklahoma City. So I expect them to. They absolutely just should be a better team than what they were last year.
I've asked everyone who's come onto this show who the player they think is most likely to be traded. You've gone with Dennis Schroeder, a player who's just come in, got a couple of years left at about $15 million. Like, why do you think he is the most likely player in this team to be traded?
I think you just hit the nail on the head right there with that part, with that last part. $15 million in a couple of years left on that contract. I still think the Thunder want to shed some salary. And I think Schroeder is probably the most movable piece that they have. I mean, they could certainly still use a 3-and-D guy. They might even, depending on what role they have in mind for Jeremy Grant, might still be able to use a guy in the starting lineup that's more of a scoring threat. And Schroeder is a guy that you can get stuff for. I don't know who else on this team can bring you players or draft picks the way that Dennis Schroeder does, because I see him as a guy that franchises look at and believe that they can still get something out of. You're obviously not going to get that with Raymond Felton or Patrick Patterson. You just committed to Jeremy Grant, so that takes him out of the loop. Steven Adams, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. I mean, they're pretty much set. So Schroeder just kind of by default is that guy. Unless for some reason they don't feel Terrence Ferguson is going to work out, then I think he would fall next to that line. And we saw that happen with Cameron Payne not too long ago, a draft pick that Sam Presti wanted to work out, didn't, and they shipped him to Chicago.
They certainly did. It'll be interesting to see if they could get anything out of Schroeder. Their draft picks, there's not a lot to talk about there. Hamidou Diallo at 45, Devon Hall at 53, who's going to be playing down here in Australia, and Kevin Hervey at 57. Unlikely we see much out of Hervey or Diallo this coming season, Eric. But let's talk about the projected starting five. We've got, you know, pretty standard one here: Westbrook, Robinson, George. There's Grant and Steven Adams. We could have Patrick Patterson there. We could have Dennis Schroeder starting in place of Andre Robinson. But I want to turn some focus here on Paul George, who did sign that five-year deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think he's being criminally underranked on ESPN, ranked at 29th. That makes no sense. He was the 16th ranked player last season. I think he takes a step forward this year without Mallow, and again, more of that usage being concentrated into him and to Russell Westbrook. So I think he is a back end of the first round type of guy. He averaged 22 points with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. He could push it up to, I think, about 25 points per game. The efficiency, which was really weirdly low to begin last season, that started to come up, and I think he can maintain that for a season. It's huge to have him back on this team, and I think we can see even better things from Paul George this coming season.
I totally agree with you on that. And if I had a team, you know, if I'm in the back part of the first round, I am drafting Paul George. If I now wait till top of the second, like a lot of players they do, then you're getting Paul George. But no Carmelo Anthony, really no outside threat, no guaranteed at this moment outside threat for the Oklahoma City Thunder in that first starting five. Paul, you have to have Paul George on your fantasy team. is the guy's going to get a lot of looks. Now, on the bad end of it, now, and I'll contradict myself here, is that, yes, if you do draft Paul George, and you know he's the only scoring threat from beyond the arc in that starting five, then that means defense can key on him, and he may not be as effective as he was, depending on what defensive player each team puts on night in, night out. But I would think Paul George is definitely late first round, at absolute worst, early second round pick. It's going to have a tremendous year for fantasy players.
Yeah, I don't see why you would let him slide outside the top 20. That ESPN rank is ridiculous. He's 16th on Yahoo, and I can understand that. I think he's fine in that 12 through 15 type of a range for this coming season. Steven Adams, another one who is rank on ESPN, seems off. He's ranked 45th there. Look, he was pretty strong last season as the 67th ranked player. I think we can see his scoring go up somewhat. Maybe the efficiency drops. He is a real problem from the free throw percentage perspective, and that's a punt type situation there. Yeah, we can look at it and go, well, you know, Melo's gone, usage is going to go somewhere, but I don't see a really huge significant spike in what Adams is going to do. He's not going to be putting up 17 points per game and you're going at 24% usage. He's going to sort of be doing more of what he was doing in the past. It was a really strong season, but he's not a high shot blocking center. He's a strong rebounder. He's going to score a little bit, but I don't expect a big jump up, which that ESPN rank would signify.
Not at all. And the thing to watch Steven Adams is if he starts going out of the arc at any point, and he wants to add that to his game. Thunder wants to add that to his game. I watch him in practice. He can hit practice, but in game time, they not let him shoot from beyond the arc when he's. So if he can add that dimension to his game, maybe steal in one of the later rounds. I wouldn't think on it. I will certainly not pin your hopes on that happening, but the combination of him and Russell Westbrook has been a really good combination, and I think it will feed him. He feeds him especially early, and then you see the Thunder tend to go away from him in the game. I don't think that without Carmelo Anthony and maybe starting not scoring up, which is limited, we'll see Russell Westbrook. And score will go up, and he'll be kind of a boon for fantasy players.
It's going to be interesting to see if that three-pointer does come along for Steven Adams. It's not going to be huge Brook Lopez, Marc Gasol type of volume, Al Horford, or even Dwayne Dedman, I don't think. But it could be something that comes in, but then ends up being more of a negative for fantasy because it does drop that field goal percentage. He was at 63% last year. If that drops down to 60, that's a 10-15 spot drop in the overall rankings number for Steven Adams. So that could be a negative side effect of him going and taking more of those three, so it is something we need to pay some attention to. Probably the last guy I want to touch on for the Thunder here, Eric, is Nerlens Noel, who they signed to a minimum deal. We all know the story with Noel and foregoing the restricted free agency deal in Dallas and signing the qualifying offer and then struggling and having hot dogs in his pocket and hurting his thumb and all that sort of stuff. I've heard of people mentioning, oh, maybe they'll play him next to Steven Adams. I don't really see that, but if he did, that would be a huge boost to what he can do because he can still provide huge block numbers, huge steal numbers, and in 26 minutes, he's a draftable guy, but I don't see him and Adams being able to play together very much. Do you?
No, I don't really see that. I don't know what that really did for the days of the day. He likes to go small. Whenever they get that opportunity, he goes small. They will do it. I think what they'll continue to do. I can't.
All right, it's been a tough recording here, Eric. We've got you back, and we're just talking about the pairing of Nerlens Noel and Steven Adams here in the front court, and the likelihood of that happening. It does seem unlikely to see those two playing meaningful minutes together.
Yeah, I just can't think of too many teams in the NBA where you find that to be all that much of an advantage. When Nerlens Noel, there's still concerns about his health and how he's going to fit in with the team. That's still a huge question. It's interesting. I thought the view of him working out with Nick Cannor certainly did a lot for him. He
hands here, but also the really the front office is determined how healthy this cat is and where he plays. And I'm sitting the bar for 15 minutes. I think that you got more than your money out of this guy. And I don't want to say this, but I truly, of all the people that are all under, he's one that I just do not know what to expect out of this.
Eric, still having issues here with this audio. Apologies. So I'm going to let you go now. And thanks for jumping on and chatting about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everyone can check out Eric with the Locked On Thunder podcast and his new podcast, Locked On Sooners, covering the Oklahoma Sooners in college football, college basketball, and all college sports. Eric, thanks for jumping on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Guys, sorry about all that garbage. I couldn't get it right. I don't know what's going on. That's about four or five times we've tried it. So unfortunately, we'll wrap that up with that conversation with Eric. I'll finish off with Nerlens Noel. Look, we know what Nerlens can do. He can put out these numbers, the steals and blocks, but I just don't see that partnership with him and Steven Adams really working out for enough minutes for him to be useful. Yeah, he'll back up Steve and he'll get, you know, his 17, 18, maybe 19 minutes. And if Adams ever goes down, then Noel's going to be a must-own player. But that's just not going to happen as a regular thing. He's not going to be a regular must-own type of a guy. They brought over Timotei Luwawu-Cabarro. There's Alex Abrines and Terrence Ferguson. They could be competing for minutes there with Andre Robertson out as well. But I don't really see any of them as having a significant fantasy value. It's all going to be concentrated in George and Westbrook with Adams and then Schroeder, probably that fourth guy along with Jeremy Grant. So it is a weird looking team from a fantasy point of view. Very little to look at in terms of sleeper type guys or upside type guys, despite the fact that I do like really, you know, Paul George at 29 at ESPN is pretty much nonsense. And Adams and Schroeder at their 45 and 54 rankings on ESPN respectively being pretty ridiculous. Apologies for the actual shit quality of the audio on this episode, and the video wasn't too good either. Just I bought a new computer and just shit is going wrong left, right, and center. Hopefully I can get it fixed. It has been an absolute nightmare. Guys, I do apologize for that. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Go and leave a review, subscribe, you know all the drills. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Patrick Patterson.